Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker and broadcast director of the ministry, and we're delighted you've taken the time to tune our way to listen to the broadcast. We trust something said today will stir your heart, bless your soul, and will help you to become a usable servant in the Lord's ministry and vineyard. We just love to share with you God's special word, and that's found in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about God seeing the heart, working on the heart. Father, would you take the Word of God now and work in the lives and the hearts of each individual listening? They're in that are not saved. I pray this will be the hour, the moment, the day they come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. I pray that you would bring salvation to those precious people. Then I pray for your children, that you would deal with them and they'll realize that you look on the heart. And as they prepare their heart, you can use them in your service. And I pray that we might be usable vessels in your hand. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Let me all thy love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life to be thy praise. Thou alone shalt be my glory. Nothing in this world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me. Thou thyself hast set me free. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And hence peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty.
Dear friends, what a blessing. I hear songs like that and I say, well, why can't I sing? Well, because they can sing better. And so there you are. But no, seriously, God's wonderful grace displayed in his salvation, in his mercy toward you and toward me. We're talking about the heart, and I wanted to share with you, last week we shared with you our highway ministry in Pennsylvania, here in the USA, and we are looking at some other avenues with that ministry, and we need lots of laborers in that. And they do not have to be full-time. They can come in part-time, or we can use full-time workers. But anyway, I want to tell you about our ministries, and I've talked about Men with a Heart and our ministries over in India. Brother Eddie Matthew is up in the northeastern sector of India, and that's over in between Bangladesh and Myanmar and Bhutan and different those other countries around there. And it's right at, you know, the Himalayas are up north of it. And he's got a ministry there to truckers. We took the burden over. We shared with them the burden of reaching all these truckers. And one of the interesting things is that he got under that burden. Now, this man is so busy. I mean it. He's one of our missionaries. He has an orphanage. He has a Christian school. His wife directs that. He has a Bible Institute, a Bible college, and a seminary. Plus, he's got continues to work with churches that they have planted. We got him started working with the military years ago. Brother Kissinger was traveling with me, and we challenged their hearts about the military, and immediately he jumped to it. And now there's a church there. I had the privilege just a couple of months back preaching in that church right on a military base. It's his heart is so tender to these things. Well, we went to an area, and here was trucks coming in. Well, Aizawl, the town that he lives in, the city he lives in, over 1.5 million people, is built on the side of a big mountain. I mean, that's exactly it. One edge is on stable ground. The other one is on long poles that hold it up, and many of them bamboo poles and strapped together and so forth. But they have these houses they live in. No wonder, you know, when the earthquakes hit, that these houses all fall down, and they're going to. There's no place to go. Well, you got switchback streets going into the city, and lots of goods they need. Well, there's no way these big tractor trailers can come down into the city. And so they built warehouses outside of the city, and these trucks come in and have to wait for either being unloaded or to load up again. And then small trucks come in and load up to take down into the city. The point that I wanted to bring out is they had a captive audience. And we were out through there, and Brother Matthew were telling us all about this is where the trucking business is and so on. And so we started talking to him about developing a ministry to those truckers. You know what happened? He took that burden into his school and just took some of the fellows out, men and women that are in their college, and took them out to start witnessing to these truckers and the lumpers who help. That's a lumper is one who loads or unloads a truck. And to get to talk with these people, and they started leading people to the Lord and got excited about it. And so now there's like a team of 15 go out there several times a week to talk to these drivers, because there's many different drivers. Interestingly, there's many different languages. There might be 3 or 4 languages that are being spoken. So, and fortunately, he has young folk in his college and seminary who speak the various languages that are there. And so they're able to witness. And one of the great testimonies came from one of his college students. He said, "I never knew anything like this could be done." But he said, "I love it. I love it." Well, that's what we want to hear. Well, they're developed a real good ministry. Now, here's the thing with the trucking ministry. Most cases, you're not going to get these truckers into your church. But the point is this. If you lead them to Christ and they get discipled through your ministry, you will have the opportunity down the road, very possibly, getting them information on churches in their area that they can go to when they are home or when they retire. And then some of those truckers will retire close to your area because they appreciate what you have done for them. So that's what they're seeing there in Aizawl, the northeast of India. And I could share some more things with southern India, and that'll be another one for another day. But pray for our chaplains and our workers within these truck stop ministries. That ministry there in northeast India needs a chapel. We're praying about that. It's going to cost quite a bit of money, unfortunately. But, hey, the Lord isn't broke. The Bank of Heaven doesn't have any kind of overdrafts. And so you and I can trust God for that, and we are. and I hope you are. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job, and I want you to look at a verse. We're looking at how God works on our hearts. Job chapter 23, and you know the account of Job, a man who was well-to-do and had really what the world would say. He had everything. He had plenty of money and plenty of cattle and had a great household of 10 kids and just a real good man. He's a man who took time every day to pray for his kids, his family. And one day there was a battle going on in heaven. Satan wanted to find and attack somebody who claimed to believe in the Lord. And so the Lord said, have you ever considered Job? And he said, yeah, you got a hedge built around him. I can't touch him. Well, thank the Lord, God's got a hedge about each of us. And when we are touched in whatever way, whether it be physical, material, or whatever, it is only because God has just lifted that curtain a little bit and said, okay, you can attack him, but you can't take his life. That's mine. I'm going to keep him. And so that's where Job was. And finally, Job lost everything materially that he could lose. Then he lost his health and then his wife. And I can see her frustration. Her husband was suffering greatly. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Then he had his three friends. And of course, the fourth one was along with him. And if you have friends like that, you don't need any enemies. And you can read about that. These guys, they all said, well, Job, let's face it. You're going through this because you're a wretched old sinner and God's finally caught up with you. Well, that wasn't the case. And so anyhow, they were certainly no help in trying to encourage him. But Job makes this comment. And if you go and study the whole thing, up to this point in chapter 23, you'll see that God has allowed these men to speak against Job, and Job is trying to sort out what is God doing. He doesn't know what God is up to or what he is planning on doing, but he knows he can trust. And the Bible says that in through everything that he went, he sinned not at all with his lips. But notice what verse 16 says, and this is Job speaking. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. In other words, he said, God has softened my heart. Job is saying, I'm going through all these trials and testings. God softened my heart. Maybe he meant God had softened his heart now to be compassionate toward others. And how wonderful it is that God can soften our hearts so we can get a tenderness toward others, or a tenderness toward him, or a tenderness toward his word. You see, Job is saying, in all of this affliction, God has softened my heart. So maybe there was a time, or maybe Job was natured, that he kind of was hard toward other people going through trials and maybe did not have much compassion. We're not told. But we do see Job saying, God is softening my heart. And you'd have to say, he's saying, God softened my heart with the afflictions that I have had. Oh, I tell you, when I read about some of these people going through the great persecutions that are happening today, I'm not talking about past generations. They were too. But when you read about these over the world, not as hard in America yet, but I would not doubt that it will come. And, you know, you read of these people who are going through the great trials, afflictions, and testing. And how many of them have talked about the burden on their heart for their captors or their persecutors? And they'd weep. I believe it was Richard Wurmbrandt over in Romania, that when he was let out of prison and finally released completely, he had spent 13 years in there in all kind of persecution, he wept because he now would not have an opportunity to talk to those guards who were so cruel and mean to him. You see, God softened his heart in such a way that he could look at his, virtually pray as the Lord did. You remember what the Lord said on the cross as we read it in Scripture? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I know Jesus was the Son of God, and yes, he was holy, and yes, there was no sin there. But can you imagine, first of all, when he created this whole world and created man, he knew before the foundation of the world that man was going to rail on him and turn against him. Yet he created man. And then he came into this world in the fullness of God's time and was born of a virgin. Grew up 33 years or so in ministry, talking, and he was about 30 years old when he did his first miracle. That was at Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. But he ministered in this world, and then he dies on that old rugged cross, being beaten and flogged and the crown of thorns on him and made to carry that cross, and with his body emaciated, and the Bible says his visage was so marred more than any man. He did not look like a man. He looked like a piece of meat. And yet on that cross, he looked down with a compassionate heart. Well, he looked down and saw his mother, and he saw John the Beloved, and he said, "Woman, behold thy sons. Son, behold thy mother." And the Bible says that John took Mary to his house from that day forth. You see, it was a tenderness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that was for his mother. But then to pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Or to hear him say to that thief on the cross, after they had begun to blaspheme and curse and make light of Christ, and finally the one just got it into his head, "Wait a minute. He's suffering the same thing we are, and yet he didn't do anything wrong." And he says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord could look to him in all that agony and pain and suffering and say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Or you think of the compassion of our Lord when he cried out, "Oh, Father, may this cup pass from me," there in that garden. And yet he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And on that cross, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" From 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, separated from God the first time in eternity past, in time, or eternity future. For those 3 hours, he was totally separated from God because he bore your sin and my sin in his body. You see, God allows all this to happen to all this to happen to his son, that we might have eternal life. And then he allows things to happen to us so that our hearts become softened to reach into the lives of other folk. Has God softened your heart at all, my friend? Has he brought compassion to you for others, to reach others, to consider their need and do all you could in your power to help them, and in the power of the Lord, of course? But could he move your heart? Job said, "He softened my heart." Softened his heart in the midst of all of the suffering. That's God's work. That's God's grace. Well, we're going to listen to a song and we'll come back to this thought.
Jesus, come, be thy true God.
Yes, Jesus loved us back to life, to real life. And that's what we're talking about with Job. Let me say one thing. You know, God was dealing with Job to bring him conformed to his own image, what he wanted. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, we're all familiar with verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But have you ever considered, or have you considered, verse 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, he's molding you and I into the into what he wants us to be. And that means that he wants us conformed to his image. So when he saved us to conform us to his image. And it's up to him as to how he is going to perfect that, bring that into fruition. It may be through suffering. It may be through some kind of prosperity. Or it may be in just leading us into places that normally we wouldn't go, but I'm not talking about wrong places, but leading us into a way so that our hearts become tender toward other people. I remember when my two of my children went down to Jamaica when they were in college, and they went there to a clinic, a hospital, with a lot of children with all kind of different situations in their lives. I think it was our daughter went into one where there was a lot of HIV positive children from birth, you know, and another one I think went through some of the some other kind of physical things. But when they came back, they said about that, you know, just how God had touched their hearts in you know, for these people. Not something that they had thought about before, because you know they weren't being cold toward them, but they just did not realize the reality of their suffering. Well, you know, Jeremiah makes this statement. You know, and he's the one that, of course, in 17:9 said about that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But notice what he says in verse 7 of chapter 24 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. This is God speaking. He's talking about the nation of Israel. So he said, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good, in verse 6. I will bring them again to this land. That's a promise. If you look at Romans 9 through 11, you see God's working on that deal as in his own timing. And I will build them and not pull them down. That's what he told Jeremiah to do, pull them down. Read chapter 1. And I will plant them. He said, pluck them up there. Now, he said, I will plant them and not pluck them up. Now, look at verse 7. I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. God says, I'm going to give them a heart to know me. You know, God does that with you and I today. Now, I know this was Israel, and there are people like to ride on the horse and say, you know, well, you can't take that promise from Israel. Well, it's specifically given to Israel, but it is also the reality that the child of God, you and I, can have. We can know that God will give us a heart to know him. And we need to be willing to have him work and conform us to that image that he wants to do. So he wants to give us a heart to know him. And in doing that, there's one other thing I'll give you here before we need to say so long on this broadcast. But I want you to go back to 1 Kings for a moment. 1 Kings, that's back here in the Old Testament, back toward Genesis there from Jeremiah. 1 Kings and chapter 3. 1 Kings and chapter 3. And allow me to read just two verses to you and help you. It says he's going to give us an understanding heart. Look at, if you will, at verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Now, this is Solomon's prayer. And he asked God to give him an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And you know, my friend, I would say this in the realm of the church. Who can have the understanding of how they need to deal with the people in a church? We need, as pastors, to have a heart that is understanding. Look at verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. This is God speaking to Solomon. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. My friend, what God is looking for in your life and in mine is a servant that he can prepare, that he can use, that he can direct in doing his work. Now, my friend, he wants to save you, first of all. Then he wants to give you an understanding heart of what is his will, his direction, and he will do that as you allow him to. Father, take the word of God, speak to hearts. Maybe there's somebody who's not saved. They need to have your spirit within them, and they need to be born again. Those who are saved, may they grow in the grace and knowledge of thee. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. We might help you spiritually. You can contact us by email, WOT@WOTBM.org, and mention Message of Truth and then what the burden of your heart is. We'll do everything we can to help you spiritually in those things. God bless you, my friend.